This is WPR News. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald is a tragedy that touched many, but none more than surviving family members of the 29 crew members who lost their lives aboard the ship.
Just ahead of the 50th anniversary, they gathered for a memorial dedication in Washburn to honor the men who died. Danielle Kading has more.
Missy Clark Nabuzny was 11 when she lost her grandfather. She remembers wet snow hitting the windows that night as she and her sister Chrissy watched the news.
And we both were just staring at the screen like, what's going on? And my mom was just freaking out, very upset, sobbing.
Her grandfather, John Simmons, had been aboard the SS Edmund Fitzgerald. The television showed a picture of the boat, which was lost that night. Alan Coleman was second cook aboard the ship. His son, Bruce Coleman, remembers hearing his mother making phone calls half the night.
My mom, you know, was 38 years old and had five kids. So you can figure what was going in her mind.
The two gathered recently in Washburn for a memorial dedication to the 29 crew members just ahead of the 50th anniversary of the Fitzgerald's sinking. The tragedy would have a lasting effect that led to improvements in weather observations and safety on the Great Lakes. I'm standing at the Superior Entry, where the Fitz sailed into the lake carrying 26,000 tons of iron ore bound for Detroit on November 9th, 1975.
The shipping captains made comments on what a beautiful day it is, but we knew the storm was coming.
That's Steve Ackerman. He's an emeritus professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says the storm was typical of the gales of November. The National Weather Service originally forecasted a gale warning, but the forecast was later upgraded to a storm warning.
By that time, the Fitzgerald and the other ship had changed what their route was, and they were caught in the worst part of the storm.
The Great Lakes freighter Arthur M. Anderson trailed behind the Fitz. Up to 25-foot waves pummeled the boats. Fitzgerald's captain Ernest McSorley reported hurricane-like winds at times. Great Lakes maritime historian Fred Stonehouse says the ship was damaged in the storm and was taking on water.
McSorley was pumping his boat, had two pumps going, and the intention was to get the water out, but the pump capacity wasn't enough to handle the water flooding in.
In a final transmission, McSorley told the Anderson, "We're holding our own." But shortly after 7:10 p.m., the Fitzgerald went down without a distress call, 17 miles northwest of Whitefish Point. Stonehouse says the tragedy led to significant improvements in regulations and weather observations.
When the Fitzgerald sank, there was zero weather buoys on the Great Lakes, none.
Now, the National Weather Service says there are currently around 130 buoys and stations that are tracking conditions on the Great Lakes, but funding that supports some of those buoys would be zeroed out under federal budget cuts proposed by President Donald Trump. Ackerman says the next generation of weather satellites are also being scaled back. He worries that will set back weather observations.
We'll be back to 1975. Our weather forecast just won't be as accurate.
A NOAA spokesperson denied that the cuts would compromise safety. Around 30,000 people have died in roughly 6,500 shipwrecks on the Great Lakes. The Fitzgerald remains the largest ever lost.
This is him and Eugene O'Brien on the Fitz.
At the memorial dedication in Washburn, Missy Clark Nabuzny shows off photos of her grandfather. She says he was a character, a pool hustler, and the love of her grandmother's life.
She lived her whole life missing him.
Alan Coleman, second cook, Washburn, Wisconsin.
During the ceremony, a bell rang 29 times in honor of the lives that were lost. Bruce Coleman says his dad was a phenomenal fisherman who loved sailing. At the ceremony, he read a poem saying the world changed forever that day.
Darkness has covered my life since, but now healing finally feels here. I can see light again, and I smile.
With the memorial, Coleman says he finally feels he has a gravestone he can visit. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down at the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy.
You're listening to WPR.
As Wisconsin faces a healthcare workforce shortage, a professor at UW-Oshkosh says getting men into the nursing profession can be one way to address the problem here in the state.
Men make up only around 13% of registered nurses nationally, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
That divide is more stark here in Wisconsin, with men only making up a little more than 8% of the state's nursing workforce, and that's according to an analysis from Marquette University.
Jason Mott joins us now. He's a professor in the School of Nursing and Health Professions at UW-Oshkosh and president of the American Association for Men in Nursing. Jason, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, looking at the numbers, nationwide, men make up around 13% of registered nurses, a little lower, I believe, here in Wisconsin. What is behind this strong disparity by gender in the nursing profession?
I think the biggest thing you see is some of the historical perspectives with nursing. So the first school of nursing was in, I believe, 200 BC in India, and it only accepted men into nursing. And so men were the primary nurses due to either being in the clergy or their military service up until the mid-1850s, when Florence Nightingale kind of took over nursing and created what I guess we can consider modern nursing, where she did not believe that men or minorities should be in nursing. And so with her coming around, men and other minorities were excluded from the nursing profession. And so I think that stereotype has kind of continued. There's a lot of stereotypes related to men in nursing that really they should be going into like being a physician or things like that. I know one of the things that we have found is high school and middle school guidance counselors oftentimes don't talk about nursing as a career for men. When boys have interest in the medical field, they're either told to go to be a physician or a physician assistant or physical therapy, occupational therapy, things like that, and are often not told about nursing as a career choice.
You are not only involved in getting men into nursing at UW-Oshkosh, you're also president of the American Association for Men in Nursing. What is it that led you to tackle this this stigma and bring more men into nursing?
I think really when I first kind of joined AAMN, so the American Association for Men in Nursing, was about 13 years ago. I first joined really kind of looking to find a place, because most of the places I've been one of the only men. And so you don't really have a chance to connect with other guys. And so had heard about the organization and really was interested and got involved right away. Pretty much within my first year, I was on several committees, then joining the board of directors and moved my way up through different positions. Doing secretary, conference planning committee, then going into the president-elect and president role. And so really it's been part of my interest, you know, to really focus on how do we more so diversify the nursing workforce? Because again, like I said, we're primarily white female, and like research has shown that patients want people that look like them. And so we need more nurses who are men. We need more nurses of color, different sexual orientations, all those sort of things to really encompass what our whole population in general looks like.
How do you make the pitch to maybe that incoming student who's maybe thinking about this as a concept but might be hesitant because of the stigmas or other concerns?
I think one of the things that's kind of interesting is as an organization, we're about 40% of our membership is female. And so I always get asked, why would a girl want to join men in nursing and things like that? And so one of our big initiatives right now, looking at the nursing profession, there's roughly 7 or 8 specialties that are out there. So it's like women's health, pediatrics, things like that, where men's health has not been recognized as its own specialty or own unique population. There's been this perception out there that, well, all research and medical studies were done on men, so why should we have to focus on men? Even though if you look at health data, men tend to survive 5 to 6 years less than women. We have higher suicide rates, more rates of violent crimes, less mental health services. and actually less health-seeking behaviors or services. And so one of the big pictures I say to people is, you know, as a nurse, unless you work in labor and delivery, you're pretty much going to be taking care of men and boys. And so it's really important to be a proponent or advocate for men's health because you're going to be taking care of those people. Now, for students, we can talk about all of the benefits that nursing has. If you look at most nursing programs or men coming into nursing, a lot of them are coming in as second degree students, meaning they've gotten a degree somewhere else and then come back into nursing. A lot of times that's because they had like factory jobs or things where they're losing their jobs or becoming unemployed. And so nursing is a great way. We're always going to need nurses. It's a good paying job. You have a lot of different options and variety. If you go to medical school and then you do your residency and everything, and say you end up as an orthopedic surgeon, you can't really do anything else unless you go back for further schooling and training. Where with nursing, you can move around to different areas. Some of it you'll need additional training or schooling, but a lot of it is just kind of moving around. So you have a lot of career options. You can do pretty much whatever you want in order to make it so that it fits your schedule. So there's positions where you don't have to work nights or weekends or holidays. Just that job stability is a huge factor for getting men into nursing.
Talking about men in nursing with Jason Mott, professor in the School of Nursing at UW Oshkosh. Jason, growing up, I had two nurses in my family. One was my aunt and one was my uncle, both lifelong nurses pretty much till retirement. And so nursing never seemed like just a, you know, women-only profession to me, seeing that. Does that kind of representation matter? Does having men in nursing open the door for more men in nursing?
Oh, definitely. I think a lot of boys don't see men in nursing. So if you go to the hospital and you're always taken care of by females, you really never even think of it as a profession that I could get into. And so I think the more that we can expand men into nursing and get more men, the better it is as a recruitment strategy. I know there's an article that was just recently done in the New York Times talking about former and some current NFL players who have gone on to become nurses. And I think even that representation, like, hey, like these are some really high level athletes and they became nurses. So I think like that sort of stuff really helps break down the stereotypes of what a nurse is.
I understand you've also worked with military veterans, often coming out of the military, men going into nursing. What kind of programs are out there?
I know a lot of guys in the military do roles like army medic, things like that. Again, kind of going back historically where men in the military did a lot of the nursing services. And so there are a lot of programs. I know down south has a lot of bridge programs at community colleges. So like in Texas and places like that, where people can come in as army medics and then do a bridge program to get into nursing. So where they're taking credit for what they did in the military and then just bringing in more nursing skills on top of that. It's one area that's still underserved because there's a lot of guys who come out of the military and don't really know what they want to do afterwards. That's another area that we can definitely continue to grow and try to get more men into nursing through their former military service.
And Jason, just in our last half a minute or so, make that pitch for UW Oshkosh in particular, getting national recognition for working with men. Why should a young fella think about going to UW Oshkosh in your program?
Yeah, definitely. So I think UWO, we are very cognizant and trying to create a very welcoming environment for our students, whether they're men, different minorities. Like you said, we just won our 9th Best School for Men in Nursing Award from the American Association for Men in Nursing, where we are actually the tops, have won the award the most times of any schools nationwide. That includes big schools like Duke University, Rutgers, Vanderbilt, Johns Hopkins, all these really high-name schools. And UW Oshkosh in the middle of Wisconsin has won the award more times than anybody. So I think it just shows the commitment that we have as a school to increasing the diversity and creating a welcoming environment for all students.
Jason, thanks again for joining us. Been talking to Jason Mott, professor in the School of Nursing and Health Professions at UW Oshkosh, president of the American Association for Men in Nursing. Well, have we been talking about you? Are you a man in nursing or thinking about going into it? Love to hear your story. Email us at wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.